This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Tomorrow afternoon, scientists expect an object weighing more than 22,000 pounds to hurtle towards Earth. Fortunately for us, there is a team of astronauts on board to steer it to a graceful landing in Florida. Or at least, that's the plan. The Space Shuttle Discovery is bringing home a trio of space travelers. On board are two Americans and one Russian, returning from a 5.5-month mission aboard the International Space Station. And we must note that this space shuttle is also something of a high-tech, tax-funded garbage truck. The Discovery is hauling back about 3,800 pounds of used equipment and trash. Meanwhile, headed upward to space today are supplies for the space station. This morning, a rocket blasted off from Russia, loaded with fuel, spare parts, oxygen, and some 8,000 friendly messages from Japanese families. A Houston company sponsored a contest to bring the greetings to the space station. The same company says in a few years it wants to collect more than 4 million messages and DNA samples and launch them into deep space. If they need any volunteers for the mission, space officials need look no further than one of the U.S.'s many local rocketry clubs. They compete with hundreds of launches a day. Barbara Mantell spent a recent Saturday with members of the Metropolitan Rocketry Association at their monthly launch in southern New York.
About 50 cars are parked along the gravel road of a sod farm in Wywayanda, New York. Trunks are open and rockets are being unloaded and ready to fly.
On 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch. Beautiful shot.
The launch manager sits at a folding table, which serves as mission control. On it is a box with a red launch button, and wired to the box are a dozen launch pads. They look like supersized candle stands, about 5 feet tall.
Dennis, that was a good launch, but I lost it in the clouds.
Dennis Lappert has entered his rocket in today's one-mile contest. As Lappert walks across the field to retrieve his rocket, he can hear it beeping.
The rocket is beeping out the digital altitude. Here it goes. There's four beeps. 2, 1, four beeps. That's 4,214 feet. That's about 1,000 feet less than I wanted. So we might try again tomorrow, or we might just leave it where it's at and let someone else win this stupid contest.
Lappert calls himself a BAR, a born-again rocketeer. Nearly everyone here does. It's someone who flew rockets as a kid, then rediscovered rocketry as an adult, usually after walking into a hobby shop with their own kid.
I'm still fascinated every time it goes up. I'm thrilled by it. Maybe it's just a guy thing. There are women in the hobby, but maybe it's just a guy thing, you know? Speed and thrust and size, I don't know.
Well, not for everyone. Perry Ritter, who's attaching a parachute to a nose cone, is into quantity. Others might send up 2 or 3 rockets a day. Ritter is aiming for 13. He designs each rocket from scratch. No store-bought kits for him. Most are about 3 or 4 feet long. One bright blue rocket he calls Ming the Merciless has the curved wings familiar to any Flash Gordon fan. Another rocket is black, decorated with gold-painted bottle caps glued around its middle.
Oh, it's just a science fiction rocket. I think I called it science friction because it has a lot of drag. But I'm not going for height, just for show, and that's it. So it'll still go up, but, you know, so it doesn't go up another 200 feet. When it gets that high, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Throughout the day, as each rocket is fired, people lift their heads up to the sky, cup one hand around their eyes, and extend the other one straight up to block the sun, in a kind of rocketeer salute. It's not just to enjoy the spectacle.
Heads up! Heads up!
No one wants to be hit.
Heads up! In the parking area. Heads up!
That's especially true when a parachute fails to deploy. That happened to Rob Nee's rocket. It crashed into the sod field at about 300 miles per hour. The rocket's body is accordioned into a few inches of crumpled cardboard, and the nose cone...
Wow, that's in there. I wish I could get my tent spikes in that deep.
The nose cone has bored its way deep into the sod. Nee can't pull it out.
The charge that deploys the parachute doesn't look like it fired.
For the bigger rockets, that kind of failure could be dangerous. That's why anything over 10 pounds must have a backup system.
See that it's a little out of round.
Matthew Reifel is in front of his van trying to fit together the cardboard tubes of his 12-foot-tall, 110-pound rocket. The humidity has swollen the tubes. They're going to have to be sanded.
When you see this thing go off, you're going to be amazed. It really puts a nice flame out there.
How much is that motor?
I think it's upwards of $600-something. I'm not sure, $600-700 around there. And it burns in 6 seconds. So that's why you only do it once a year.
Reifel's motor is one of the biggest to launch. He had to get certified to fly it. There are smaller motors that anyone 18 years or older can buy without passing a test. Reifel takes his rocket to the far, far end of the launch area. Parked there is a 17-foot-long metal rail. Reifel and some friends carefully slide the rocket on.
Whoa, speed nice and level. Slow down.
The rail is raised to the vertical position and everyone steps back about 100 feet. Reifel's brother will press the launch button. They listen through a walkie-talkie to mission control. It's not NASA.
You guys are ready, right?
I'm not good at
that. Yeah, we're ready. Run it now. Absolutely everybody's heads up.
Is this it? Well, hold it. Not yet. No, we're not ready. That was cool. That was sick. Yes!
The rocket disappears into the windy sky.
I hate to say anything, but does anybody know where it is?
The rocket, because it's so heavy, goes up about 4,000 feet. The same motor could propel a lighter rocket as high as 20,000 feet. But the club doesn't have government clearance for that.
It's over there.
Reifel spies the rocket and watches as the wind takes it past the sod fields and past the neighboring farmer's corn. It takes Reifel more than an hour to find it. For NPR News, I'm Barbara Mantell in Wauwatosa, New York.
Our program is directed by Catherine Simmons, edited by Mary Louise Kelly, and produced by Christopher Turpin. The technical director is Bill Deputy. The production staff includes Jonathan Baer, Carol Klinger, Franklin Cater, and Amy Walters. At the national desk, Michael Fields, Libby Lewis, Janet Domowitz, Cindy Johnston, Bibi Krause, Les Cook, Ron Elving, Julia Mitrich, Ann Hawk, and Ken Barkas. The managing editor for NPR News is Barbara Rehm. I'm Linda Wertheimer. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.